We come now to the reading of Holy Scripture. I've got three readings. I'm going to read these portions of God's holy word. The first two are words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself concerning the resurrection. And then we'll read from the book of Job. I'm going to read from John chapter 5. And if you have a Bible, you know where it is in the New Testament. John 5, 26, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John 11:23. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And now we turn to the Old Testament, Job chapter 19. Commencing at the verse 23. Words of Job. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Amen. Thus far the reading of Holy Scripture. Well, dear congregation, as we gather here this afternoon on what is indeed a sad moment in time where we grieve the loss of dear Auntie Ivy, as a minister of God's Word, it is my joy and duty to bring us to the Word of God. As we gather together, as always, we turn to God's holy Word for our instruction. I want to say three things by way of introduction before we come to God's Word. The first thing is this, that this church esteems the Word of God, esteems the Word of God above all else, and not the imaginations of men about who God is and what He is like. The Word of God tells us who God is and what He is like. I'm not here trafficking in my own ideas today. I'm here to preach the unsearchable riches of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we come to God's Word, and I'm not here to offer you, as many ministers do, sentimental religious platitudes that have no bearing on the Word of God. I'm here to simply preach God's Word as we see it in the Bible. The third thing, I need to remind myself, as I remind you, and every time you go to a funeral, every minister will stand before Christ and shall be called to account whether he was faithful to the Word of God. The Bible is very clear on that matter. I'm not here to make anybody feel good. I'm here just to simply to convey what God's Word has to say to us and to preach it without apology this afternoon. In this very hall, almost 2 years ago, some of you were here, this hall, there were a lot more people 2 years ago when we remembered dear Auntie Ivy's centenary. We had a Thanksgiving service for the 100 years that the Lord had given Auntie Ivy. I preached from Psalm 90, which we read at the outset of this service, where Moses writes, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And we consider that psalm under three elements. Lord, teach us to number our days in the light of God, who we shall have to stand before. The second thing I had us think about, and Moses points us to, is to teach us to number our days in the light of the fact that all of our sins are before God, even our secret sins. God knows them all. And God will require exacting of our sins, each and every one of us. There's no hope for us if we do not have a Redeemer, if we do not have a Savior. Salvation is not God is going to weigh up all of your good and weigh up all of your bad. As I said earlier, all of our bad outweighs all of our good. Our only hope is to trust in the one who always did good. The Bible says, none are righteous. No, not one. God says, all have sinned. Each and every one of us. No amount of our doing good could ever save us. But there is salvation. There is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. All other religions will tell you that you've got to do X, Y, and Z in order to be justified, in order to be made right with God. But God says, look unto me and be ye saved. Look to me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. Salvation is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. If any of you know your Bibles well, you know that right in the Garden of Eden, there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God promised to our first parents, Adam and Eve, that a Savior would come. You say, that's amazing. Yes, indeed, it is amazing. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, were promised a Savior. And then Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. This is the promise that God gave our first parents, Adam and Eve. And so we need to remember our days, to count our days in the light of our sins and in the light of God's mercy. And there is only a certain time we have this short and fleeting life to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all of us will live 102 years. Some of us may be taken much, much sooner. As we were there in the cemetery, I don't know if you noticed, there was a grave of a little child taken very early, young people. So, teach us to number our days in the light of our sin and in the light of God's gospel mercy that is in Jesus Christ. And friends, as we come here today, I remember preaching at that time, and somebody told me, I didn't actually see the person, and I don't want to castigate anybody, but somebody told me that after the service there was a dear soul that was complaining that the sermon, that the message was so serious. Well, friends, don't you think it is serious? Don't you think life is serious? If God has said that He is going to judge us according to our sins, and if we don't come to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, don't you think it's serious? So I pray that as you and I gather here around God's Word, and we're going to look at the words of Job in Job chapter 19, and those verses that you see there on your sheets, I want to consider this, because God has said, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Now, let me just ask the question before we begin. Where will you be without a Savior? Where will you be without the Lord Jesus Christ on that last day? Jesus said Himself that He will stand upon this earth And he will call all men out of the graves. Where will you be? On which side will you be? Jesus said he will divide the sheep from the goats. Them that believe, them that trust and look to him to save, and them that think that they are going to redeem themselves on the last day, which side will you be on that last day? Friends, I'm not playing games. And I know that as I preach here today, there are people that cannot even bear to look at me in the eye, because these things trouble you. But you have not come to grips with them in your own soul. So hear me, this may be the last time for some of you that you will ever hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, where will you be on that last day? So without any further delay, let's look there at Job 19, verse 25. Look with me there, reading from verse 23. Job writes these words, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Dear friends, as we begin to consider these verses here, let me just give you a little bit of a background as to the life of Job. Job was a man that lived many, many years before the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to suffer and to die for his people, to bring them salvation. We read at the beginning of Job, the book of Job, that Job was upright, that he was righteous, that he eschewed evil. There was no man like Job in all the land. He was a most righteous man, and the Lord blessed him. And yet Job rightly understood. Job knew that he was a sinner. That's why he says here, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Job knew that he could not redeem himself. Job offered sacrifices to the Lord. Job knew, though he was a just man, he was not without sin. Job understood himself to be a sinner and therefore needed a redeemer. I mean, if ever we're going to question whether a righteous person on the basis of his life and his good deeds can ever be justified, can ever be accepted before God, would we not say Job would be such a man? The Bible says there was none like Job. No such man as righteous as Job. And yet Job rightly understood that he had fallen short of God's glory. The Bible, friends, says all have sinned. None are righteous. Ever since our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, all have sinned. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that's why we all die. Because all sin. Death has come because of sin. And Job knew that sin brought forth death. And that's why we all die. He believed in the just judgment of God. He believed that, as the Bible says, God is of purer eyes than to behold our sin, our iniquity. Job understood that. That's why he believed in the promise given to Adam and Eve, that God would provide a remedy, that he would provide a savior for our sins. Job looked, dear friends, in great anticipation to God's merciful promise announced to our first parents, Adam and Eve, that God would one day send a redeemer. And do you see that here? Job says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." I know he lives right now. Look there, verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." And friends, let me just say this. These words are coming from the mouth of a man who is going through one of the most heart-wrenching experiences that we could ever experience. Job has undergone so much heartache, so many trials. Many of you know the story of Job. Job had 7 sons and he had 3 daughters. And all of those children were taken in a day. And what's more, if you look at verse 14 there, it seems as if even his siblings, his family, his nearest family, have now abandoned him. He's covered in sores. He's lost everything. He's lost all of his cattle. He had thousands of them. He had thousands of camels. He was greatly blessed, and yet it's all taken up in one day. He's lost it all. Job's lost everything. Even his closest friends have nothing to do with him. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar now scorn him. Look at verse 14. My kinsfolk have failed, and my familiar friends have forgotten me. And the entire book of Job here is this discourse between him and his friends. And then, obviously, he prays to God a number of times. Friends, these words here that we find, verses 23 through 27, come at the time when Job has lost everything. It's as if he's got nothing left to live for. And even his own wife says, Job, why don't you curse God and die? Could you imagine your wife or your husband saying that to you? Why don't you curse God and die? There's no point in living. What has God done for you? But friends, Job had something that money and friends cannot buy. He had a Redeemer. Job understood that at the end of this life, that though his body should go to the grave, and though the worms should eat up his body, and even though his reins, his kidneys, his loins would all be eaten up, he understood this, that Redeemer, as God had promised, should raise his body to incorruption, and that he himself would see God. Do you know Moses wanted to see God? We're told that. Moses wanted to see God, but God said to him, Moses, no man can see God and live. Why? Because we're sinners. And yet what this tells us here in this very passage, the fact that Job would one day at the resurrection be raised and that he will actually see God, means that Job would be sinless one day. And Job would have a perfect body and a perfect mind. What a blessing that is. Do any of you have that assurance today? Christians do. And I'll tell you what, Christians know and believe this Bible. Do you know that this Bible tells us of a Savior that would come into this world? God promised to send His Son into this world. You can read, I challenge you, go into the Old Testament. And you can read time and time and time again where the Savior would be born. That He would be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. That He would be born of a virgin. It's all in the Old Testament. Hundreds of years before He would come. The Bible speaks of these things. That the Redeemer would come. And He came. Jesus Christ came. God stepped into this world. He came just as it was promised. Jesus Christ came into this world. Do you know every time some of you write a check, you write the year 2012. What do you think you're writing? You are writing the day that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. It's a historical fact that Jesus Christ came into this world. Look at the history books. Look at the Roman history annals. Look at all of that. They all testify to the Lord coming. Friends, this book is not myth. We're told in the prophecies of Isaiah many, many, many times about this wonderful Savior and how God would make His soul an offering for our sin. That He would be put to death for us. The cross was no accident. The cross was all planned by the predetermined purpose and counsel of God. No accident. Jesus said it must be that Christ be put to death by the hands of wicked men and be raised on the third day according to the scriptures. It's all there in the Psalms. Study it for yourselves. I'm amazed how many people criticize the Bible. I go out twice a week and preach in the town center. And we've always got some crazy person walking by calling us crazy, yet they've never read the Bible. Have you read the Bible? Do you understand the truth? Do you believe this? Have you researched the facts? God promised to send a Savior. And He did in the fullness of time. And Job says here, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And look, before we come to these words here, Job said, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were now printed in a book. But have Job's words not been printed in this book? Do we not have them? Job's promise has been fulfilled. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. Job is saying this. In effect, I've got something very important to say. If I could have something recorded for all eternity, Job says, let it be these words. From verse 25 onwards, let it be these words. Let me ask you, friends, if you have some words that you would like to be remembered, what would they be? Well, Job's words are these. For, because I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Oh, my dear friends, there's nothing more important than that. To have that as your comfort, to have that as your hope. And this was Job's hope. He knew that his Redeemer lives. And what he wants you and I to know is this, that there is a Redeemer. And you can know him today. You don't come up to Christ and fix yourself up. He receives sinners. Doesn't the Bible tell us this? Jesus said, I've not come to call the righteous or people that think they're righteous, but sinners to repentance. See the problem with all of us? All of us. We don't think we're half as bad as we are. But friends, one infraction of God's law is sin. And Jesus Christ came, friends. He came and lived 33 years and lived the life that you and I should have lived. And he died the death that you and I deserve. The Bible says he is our substitute. That's how he saves us. That's how he redeems us. What is it to redeem something? Some countries you have pawn shops where you can take something in and they give you some money in exchange for it. And you go back a few days later and you say, dear sir, I'd like to redeem that item back. And you've got to pay something, don't you, to get that back. And very often those men are swindlers. Don't trust them. Don't do that with your things that you've got. But this is what Jesus Christ has done for us. In order for God to redeem us, in order for God to save us, God had to become man. You say, come on. God became man. Have you read the opening of John's Gospel? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. God became flesh. You know, I'm amazed, I'm staggered at people that believe in evolution. And believe that we all came about by a big bang. It's crazy. You ask the scientist. You say to the scientist, Mr. Scientist, what created the big bang? What created the smallest molecule? Oh, well, I don't know. That was just there. You see, the laws of science tell you this. Science will say matter can neither be created nor destroyed. Matter becomes something else. It becomes a gas or something. So what made the mass of this universe? We can't explain that this universe is made by God. God, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. God made it all. And the Bible says all things were made through Him, through Christ. Christ made the world. God made this world. And the God that made this world so loved the world that He had to die in order to save us. You see, God is not this God that can just say, sin, let's just put it in the bin. Let's just forget about it. He is a holy God and He's a just God and He must punish sin. God comes, takes our place, lives the life that we should have lived, then goes to a cross, is forsaken by the Father. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And He dies for them that believe in Him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They come to me and I give them eternal life. As we preach the words of Christ, there will be some that believe. There will be some that refuse this because they don't want to bow the knee to God. There are many people here that don't want to admit that they're sinners. Will you let your pride damn you? Let me just ask you that. Will you let your pride today damn you for all eternity? Will you? What a foolish thing. What a foolish thing to lose eternal life because you were too proud to come to God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Jesus Christ was living then. He's always lived. He's always existed. But in the fullness of time, He who is God also became man. That is amazing. You know, people say to me, I thought God is a loving God. Oh, He is a loving God, my friend. He is a loving God, indeed. Would you give your only son for somebody? But God gave His only Son. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to God. Do you know every other religion will say you've got to do works, you've got to do this, you've got to do that in order to be right with God. Jesus said, I am the way, the exclusive way. Muhammad can't save you. I'll tell you why, because Muhammad was a sinner. Buddha can't save you. None of these men are God. But the God-man came to die for our sins. Friends, this is the love of God. And Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He lives. Jesus said, the last book of the Bible, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I want to ask today, as we contemplate these great things, do you have a Redeemer? Because if you don't have a Redeemer, what this tells me is this. You and your arrogancy, and I don't mean to be condescending, I don't mean to be unkind, I don't mean to be unloving, but if you do not have a Redeemer, what this is telling me is that you think God will allow you to be your own Redeemer in that day. Unless you have a Redeemer, you think that you can justify yourself on that last day. If Job couldn't, you can't. I can't. We're all in the same boat, friends. We're all sinners. And we need a Redeemer. And Job said this, I know for sure. Because God has promised it. God promised it to my first parents, Adam and Eve. And Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time to be the Redeemer of His people. The sad thing is, I see people don't want this. You know, as I preach, not only here, but as I go out, I often use this analogy. There are people in this country that owe masses amount of money. They're in debt. What happens if the bank manager comes out and says, sir, madam, I'd like to wipe out all of your debt today. Don't you think most people would be running and flocking to the bank manager and saying, yes, I would love to have all of my debt cancelled out. But friends, here is the offer of salvation here today. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, God says you can be reconciled to Him. You can have all of your sins blotted out because of what Christ has done for sinners. Please stop speaking there at the back. Will you receive this Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is He your Savior? Why will you not come today and receive Him as your Savior? Why not believe in Him? Why not trust Him? What is it that's keeping you back? You see, you've got to say either the Lord Jesus Christ was a lunatic or a liar. What will you do with Christ today? What will you do with the one that says, unless a man believeth in me, he shall perish? What will you do with that today? They're not my words, friends. As I said at the outset of the service today, I've not come here to play around. I've come here as a preacher of God's word to give you the truth. What will you do with that truth today? Would you believe in Christ? Can you say with Job, I have a Redeemer? Where are you today? You know, it will be a sad thing, friends, for you to walk out of here without a Redeemer. Dear Auntie Ivy heard the gospel. You've heard the gospel. What are you going to do with it now? There's no hope apart from Jesus Christ. Your church going will not save you. Your Bible reading will not save you. Your good works, as Job understood, will not save you. The only person that will save you is Jesus Christ, because He is the Redeemer. The Apostle Peter said, we have not been purchased by gold or silver, but we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him. Now, to believe in Christ means that you repent of your sins and you live to God. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. As we close, friends, where is your hope? You say, well, I hope to go to heaven. What kind of hope is that? Job said, I know for sure. And he said, I know this Redeemer is God. I shall see God with my own eyes. Do you have that hope, that sure hope? Can you say with Job, I know that my Redeemer liveth? Jesus said, marvel not, the hour is coming when all in the grave shall come out of the graves. Some to the resurrection of life, some to a resurrection of damnation and condemnation. Jesus said, he who believes not is condemned. There's no hope. The good that you can do today is turn from your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Don't fix yourself up. You say, God, you receive sinners. Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. And I'm a sinner. I'm a great sinner. You don't need to tell the minister what you've done wrong. Tell God and believe on His Son, and you shall be saved. What a wonderful promise that is. It's better than having all of your debts cancelled out, all of the money you might owe. But to have to be right with God today, because God could take you today. Those young people that just walked out of here, who knows? I'm not saying anything's going to happen to them, but who knows? God could take you today. Nothing is for sure, friends. I hope it'll be the salvation of some today. Friends, just as God spoke the worlds into being, God will call us all from our graves. Do you have a Redeemer? The Lord Jesus. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And may God receive the honor and the glory of this salvation that comes through His Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray.